Well, good morning, friends. My name is Jason. I'm one of the ministers here at St. John's. I look after our youth ministry, which is happening in the back hall at the moment, as well as our 5 p.m. congregation. But I have the privilege of leading us as we spend time reflecting on God's word together. Friends, would you, if you have your Bibles there, would you leave them open at 1 Peter chapter 4? It's actually important that we do have our Bibles open to make sure that the things that I'm saying from the front are the same as what God's word says. We want to test everything that comes from the pulpit here. But friends, let me pray now that God would lead us and help us to reflect on his word. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, Father, would you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, how would you live differently if you knew you only had 1 month left to live? How would you live differently if you knew you only had 1 month left? You know, I think most of us here would decide to change a few things up. Maybe we would reassess whether we head into work on Monday morning. Maybe we would start working our way through something of a bucket list of things we haven't done yet but are desperate to do. We would probably spend more time with the people that we love and those who love us. And we would focus on those things that really matter while leaving behind those things that don't. Living knowing that the end is near looks different, doesn't it, friends? I think we tend to see this played out in the sporting arena more than anything else. Those last few minutes before the ref blows the whistle or the umpire calls stumps, those are some of the most action-packed and intense minutes of the entire game. And if you play the same in those last few minutes as you did the whole time leading up to that, well, you're a fool, aren't you? Because those last few minutes demand urgency and priority. And friends, the Bible says it's the same for our Christian lives. The Bible tells us that we live in the last days of human history. We heard it in our Bible reading earlier from Diana. If you take a look, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. You see, friends, we live in the last days, that time between Jesus' death and resurrection and his return to judge all things. We live in that time before the ref blows the whistle to signal the end of the game. And so because we live in these last days, our lives need to be lived differently. There's an urgency and a character to life now that's different compared to those who lived in previous times. And I think that's what Peter wants us to see today. Peter wants us to see that the time we live in is the last days. And that's what God has promised from the Old Testament. And so we then are God's last days community. And so Peter is answering the question then, how? How do God's people live in light of the end? How do we live as a last days community? Well, I think Peter has a very simple message to show us from 1 Peter chapter 4. He tells us this, that God's last days community, we are meant to say no to sin in verses 1 to 6. We are to say yes to serving in verses 7 to 11, even if that means suffering in verses 12 to 19. You see, we are to say no to sin, yes to serving, even if that means suffering. Friends, if you're with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, let's pick it up from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Well, friends, Peter reminds us here, he starts by reminding us of Jesus' death for us. And then he says we are to learn from Jesus' example. Can you see it there, friends? In verse 1, we are to arm ourselves with Jesus' same way of thinking. We are to have the mindset of Jesus Christ. That word, arm yourself, it's actually a military word. It's about being prepared for a battle. You see, we need to be in the right frame of mind to live as God's people in these last days. And what should characterize us as God's last days community? Well, like Jesus, as we suffer in the flesh, we cease from sin. As we suffer in the flesh, we cease from sin. Now, I don't think what Peter expects here is that the Christians that he's writing to will be at the stage where they no longer sin. He's not expecting them to be sinless. Instead, I think what he's talking about is a change in the way that we think. It's about an attitude change, a mindset change. Living as a Christian now means having a changed heart and a changed mind when it comes to sin. And so Peter tells us we are to live the rest of our time, these short few days in the end, not for our natural sinful passions. Instead, we are to live for the will of God. You see, friends, life in these last days is about saying no to sin. And then in verse 3, Peter lists out, doesn't he, those things that describe the pagan world of his day. Can you see it there, friends, in verse 3? Those things that revolve around the themes of sex and drunkenness and idolatry. You see, God's last days community is to live different to the world around them. We don't live for ourselves. We live for the will of God. And so this means saying no to the way our world misuses sex and alcohol and idolatry. Sex and alcohol, they are good gifts from God, but human beings continue to abuse these gifts. We take them too far. And so we are called to swim against the tide, to go in the opposite direction of our world, to go back and use these things as God has called us to. And Peter says that when we choose to say no to these things, when we say no to our natural selfish desires and live according to God's world, God's will, friends, we will stand out. We will be noticed by others. We'll surprise the people around us, and we will be mocked for it. Isn't that what David and Tina showed us in the kids' spot? That living for Jesus will result in being mocked by the world. Saying no to sin will lead to people laughing at us. Some years ago now, one of my friends went along to a mutual friend's Bucks party. And as you'd expect, it did become a bit of a nightmare for him towards the end. The night started off pretty well. It was good food, a few drinks, and just a group of boys having a good time. But as the night went on, my friend saw things get progressively worse. There were drinking games that led to a level of drunkenness that not even some of the guys who were there can remember. There was excessive gambling that led to many of the guys losing a lot of money. And there was even sexual immorality in the form of strippers. And my friend, who is there as a follower of Jesus living in these last days, was trying to figure out how is he meant to respond to this? What is he meant to do? Well, in the end, he refused to drink too much. He stuck to just a couple of beers. He chose not to join in the gambling, in the poker matches. And when things went too far, he chose to remove himself from there. He left. And when he did that, he was mocked mercilessly by all the other guys. He was laughed at because he refused to join them in their flood of debauchery. You see, friends, living in these last days means saying no to sin, even when we're mocked for it. And so, friends, the challenge then comes to us: will we choose to live for the will of God? Do we model this choice to our children and our grandchildren? Do we set this example for others? Being involved with youth ministry here at St. John's, one of the saddest things that I see is teenagers who give up on Jesus because mum and dad don't model what it looks like to live for God. Mum and dad prioritize the things of the world over and against the Lord Jesus Christ, and the teenagers pick up on it. They can see that what their parents say and what they live is not the same thing. And so clearly Jesus isn't that big a deal. It's okay for me to do what I want because that's what mum and dad do anyway. Friends, the best thing you can do for your children and grandchildren is to model to them what it looks like to live as God's last days community, to show them what it looks like to say no to sin, even if it means getting laughed at. Remember, the time is long past now to follow the example of the pagan world. Now is the time to say no to sin and to live for the will of God. And so, friends, that's the first thing that Peter shows us, say no to sin. But next he shows us what we should be saying yes to. And so if you're with me, pick it up in verse 7. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Well, friends, as Peter continues, he makes this huge statement about the times that we live in. The end of all things is at hand. The last days are here. Peter reminds us that we who live on the other side of Jesus' resurrection, we live in the last few moments before game over, before Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. And so Peter has told us in light of this, we are to say no to sin, but now he starts to show us what we need to say yes to. And he begins by instructing us to be committed to prayer. We are to be self-controlled and sober-minded in prayer. Can you see, friends, living in the last days means giving a priority to prayer. Praying for our church family here at St. John's, praying for your own families, praying for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's last days communities are to be a people of prayer. But then Peter also encourages us to love one another. You see, there above all else, keep loving one another. Right? We should be known as God's last days communities as a people of love. Jesus, in fact, tells us that by this will all people know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I think what Peter does next is he shows us how this love gets expressed in a number of ways. And so firstly, he talks about hospitality. The word for hospitality literally means showing a love for strangers. And then in verse 10, Peter summarizes how this love gets expressed. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so you see, dear friends, the best way we love each other is when we serve each other, using the gifts that God has given us to build up the church. That's how you show love. And these gifts that Peter talks about, they don't just have to be talents. It's not just when you're good at playing piano or a great growth group leader. These can be anything that God has given you that you can use to help build up the church. And so friends, one of the things that I'm hoping you're starting to see is that life and church in these last days is not a spectator sport. Imagine if you do head into a stadium to watch a great football match that happens. There's a massive crowd there in the stadium watching the game, and then there are the players on the field. In that scenario, Peter says we are far more like the players on the field than the crowd in the stadium. You see, each and every one of us is to be involved in using our God-given gifts to see our church be built up. A last days community is meant to live by saying no to sin and saying yes to serving. And as Peter keeps going, he gives us a few examples of what this might look like. He's already spoken about hospitality, sharing your home and your lives with others. Wasn't it great earlier, friends, to hear of the winter warmers that are coming up? A great opportunity to put this passage into practice by either showing hospitality or receiving it. But also, we see that Peter mentions, he talks about speaking God's words to build each other up. He might be referring to some kind of teaching role involved in teaching the Bible here at St. John's, but actually this is something I think we can do informally as well, as we share with each other, as we speak to each other about what God has been teaching us in his word. We serve one another by speaking God's word to each other. And then I think Peter talks about serving in a more general sense, which is the idea of practically of doing whatever it takes to fill the practical needs of the church. And so you see, friends, because the end of all things is at hand, serving the gospel has to be the priority for us. Because the end of all things is at hand, serving the gospel has to be the priority for us. During my year and a half here at St. John's so far, it's actually been really encouraging to see many of you show this priority. And so I can think of one of the dads here at church who is always ready to lend a helping hand to our Engage youth group. I can think of some of the ladies in our church who give up time each week in order to share the gospel with kids in our local scripture classes. And I can think of one particular young man at church who chose to take on a less paying and less prestigious job offer because he wanted to prioritize his time serving here at church. You see, friends, God's last days people understand that time is almost up. And the most important thing we can be doing right now is serving our brothers and sisters here at church. And so can I ask you, friends, how are you going at serving? You know, I think in general as a church we do this really well, but it's important for us to keep asking that question of ourselves. How am I going at serving? Friends, can I say there is no shortage of ways that you can be involved in serving here at St. John's. Whether it's getting involved in some of the formal teams that we have, like welcoming here at 9 a.m. or serving on the roster in the services, helping out with morning tea. There are so many great formal ways to be involved in serving. But friends, can I say there are lots of informal ways, things that you can just do yourself. You can look out for your brothers and sisters here at 9 a.m. You can check up on those who are sick or those who are struggling. You can invite people into your homes as you get to know each other deeper, and you can read the Bible with others as you seek to love and serve Jesus together. Friends, there is no one here who can say they have nothing to give or nothing to do. We have all been given gifts by God, and there are countless opportunities to be serving here at St. John's. And so, friends, how will you say yes to serving here at 9:30? Well, after Peter shows us firstly what to say no to, we are to say no to sin, and then he shows us what to say yes to, we are to say yes to serving. He then moves into speaking how this will all happen in the context of opposition. We are to say no to sin and yes to serving, even if it means suffering. And so if you're with me, pick it up, friends, in verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Well, friends, Peter tells us that as we try to live as God's last days community, we should expect it to hurt. Living at the end of all things will involve suffering. But friends, did you notice what kind of suffering Peter is talking about here? Can you see it there in verses 13 to 16? It's not suffering because you've done something wrong. It's not even suffering because you're sick or because you're experiencing the brokenness of this world. It is specific suffering because you belong to Jesus Christ. The kind of suffering Peter's got in mind here is that intentional and intimidating suffering because we follow Jesus. And of course, that's going to look different for us today in 21st century Sydney compared to Peter's first audience. But Peter still says we should expect it. The world has not changed. They hated Jesus when he was there. They hated his apostles when they went out and took the gospel. And they hate his people even today. And so if we choose to say no to sin and yes to serving, we should expect opposition. Sometimes even from the last place you would expect it. Friends, a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of meeting with a young guy named James who had just become a Christian that year. And it was so encouraging to see James grow. And I was meeting with him one-to-one to try to see him be encouraged and be built up. And before long, he was serving at church there by sharing the gospel with kids at kids' church. It was such an encouraging time for James. He was growing so much. But one of the deep challenges that James had to endure was facing opposition from his own parents. His parents didn't like that he was spending so much time and energy and money serving at church. And so they sought ways to manipulate and bribe James to give up on church. They'd say things like, oh, you can use the family car only if you stop going to church. You can join us for family times and good times and holidays only if you give up on church. You see, friends, that was the suffering that my friend James had to endure. He said no to sin and yes to suffering, yes to serving, and he suffered in this way. And Peter tells us that we should expect this. When we seek to live for Jesus, we should expect it. But more than that, did you notice? We should rejoice. Can you see it there in verse 13? We're meant to be glad when we suffer for Jesus. Friends, doesn't that just sound a little bit crazy? I mean, it's one thing to put up with suffering, to grit your teeth and to just endure, but to rejoice. Well, as hard as this sounds, I think Peter is saying that when we have the right perspective, we can rejoice. When we stand back and see the full picture of our suffering, we have every reason to be glad. Because sharing in Jesus' sufferings means sharing in Jesus' glory. Sharing in Jesus' suffering means sharing in Jesus' glory. Friends, it's kind of like being in a plane. If you've ever been on a plane before and traveled interstate or overseas, when you are the passenger in the plane, whatever happens to the plane happens to you. So when the plane takes off, you take off. When the plane experiences turbulence, you experience turbulence. And when the plane arrives at its paradise destination, so do you. You see, friends, that's what Peter is describing to us here. When we are in Christ, when we are united to Jesus, what happens to Jesus happens to us. And so Jesus suffered in the flesh, and so will we. But Jesus also experienced glory, and so will we. You see, friends, we can rejoice in our suffering now because we know that we will share in Christ's glory. However hard life might be right now, it will not be worth comparing to the glory that is to come. You see, when we are with Jesus in glory and we look back on all the suffering we've gone through, we will say, it was all worth it in the end. And so Peter ends then in verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. You see, friends, we can rejoice. We can trust our good and faithful Creator. God calls us to keep doing good, even if it's difficult. But as hard as it gets, we know that we can depend on our faithful and good God. Well, friends, today we've seen, haven't we, how we are to live as God's people in these last days. We are to say no to sin and yes to serving, even if it means suffering. And so, friends, what sins do you need to start saying no to? What areas of serving might you need to start considering saying yes to? Peter has told us that the ref is about to blow the whistle. Christ is about to return. And so will you go on living as though nothing has changed? Will you continue to live like the pagan world around us? Friends, the end of all things is at hand. So how will you live in light of the end? Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you so much that you are the sovereign, good, and glorious God who works all things for the good of those who love you. Father, we thank you that in your mercy you have brought us to faith in Christ and that you preserve and keep us even through the suffering we might endure. Father, would you help us now to live as your last days people? Would you help us to say no to sin? Would you help us to use our lives to serve each other for your glory? And Father, would you grant that in all things we would look to you and seek to live for you as Jesus is about to return? And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.